You're listening to The Mixtape Remedy,
a podcast about the therapeutic impact music has on our lives and our creativity. I'm Emma.
And I'm Matt. And today on the podcast, we have tall, dark, handsome videographer Michael Radford on. And the song we're going to be talking about is
America by Sufjan Stevens.
Finally over.
Wow. No, not finally. That's not that long enough.
That's a beautiful, beautiful song.
That song. Oh.
So this is the first.
Expansive.
Cool.
This is the first time of us repeating an artist, but for good cause, because this is a fucking dope song.
This is a great song.
I definitely 100% can say that I overlooked the song the first time I heard it.
I could see that. It's kind of like, it's super maximal, which I don't know. It was a lot to take in, especially for a single. It's like it releases a single and it's 12 minutes long.
It releases a single?
Yeah, and it's like the big album closer, which is so strange.
This is such a cool thing. But before we do that, because we always get so excited after the songs are over, we want to go on, but introduce yourself, talk a bit about yourself, who you are, what you are,
how you are.
Are you well? How are you doing?
I think I'm doing just
too warm,
fine.
Too cold?
Right now,
hungry?
I think if we could modify 2 degrees up.
All right.
No, we're good. My name is Michael. Michael Radford. I'm an old friend of Matt's from our music scene days.
Yes.
I'm a videographer for a local tech company. And that's basically the sum total of my personality right there.
Cat dad?
What was that?
You're a cat dad?
Totally a cat dad, along with my cat wife, Carmen.
Yeah.
We have three kitty cats in the house right now.
Three.
Seth, Yzma, and
Seth.
Gladys the Bad.
Seth. Seth is the new one. We knew Gladys and Yzma.
Have you guys not met Seth yet? Did that not happen? He's named for the Egyptian god. I think you guys would like him.
Okay, cool. I was going to say, is that Set? Seth?
I just read it, so I couldn't tell you how to pronounce it. S-E-T-H.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Seth. Nice. You call him the High Sethton.
Yeah.
I just remember the last time we saw you guys, your backyard was full of cats.
It's still full of cats.
They're like barn cats, right?
Yeah, stray cats that were there, but it's perfect for Carmen. She's always wanted to do rescue stuff.
Yeah.
Spay, neuter, release. And she's been doing it for the first time.
Awesome.
And I think she's gotten two so far.
Wow.
It's only been about a week.
That's nice.
Yeah, she's having a lot of fun
with it. Make sure those cats get out there safe and
aren't able to. And just kind of, they kill a lot of birds. They don't have good lives. Yeah. So the idea is to keep pregnancies from happening too often.
Yeah.
Population
from that growing. Is a noble cause.
Yeah. And I people have been donating like crazy. It's been a really cool thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is cats are an invasive species, technically.
I guess so.
When they're introduced to an area and just allowed to be out, they just propagate crazy and they go nuts. They kill so much.
And they go hungry and they have pretty short, brutal lives.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's horrible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not too much about cats, though. So tell us let's go way back. I'm assuming way back.
Could be back to
the beginning of your introduction to Sufjan Stevens.
Ooh, that is a long time ago. I remember I learned the guitar to Kazimir Pulaski Day in high school. So
nice.
I think it's sophomore or junior year. It was a while ago. But never really got into him. I tried listening to Illinois, and really, it was not my thing in high school.
Uh-huh.
In fact, just kind of softer music was new to me. My first big band was Thursday, some kind of emo, screamo kind of stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
But I didn't really get into Sufjan until actually I had moved to Utah, and I remember visiting all these music forums and people talking about Sufjan Stevens in a way that it really piqued my interest. So I decided to listen to Age of Odds. And completely melted my brain.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Was my favorite album for a year after that. And
really?
Yeah. And what's funny enough is it made me really appreciate his earlier music too.
Oh, okay.
In a weird way. So, Yeah, went off the Sufjan Stevens deep end. That's and nice. Yeah, he's been with me ever since.
Yeah, my introduction to him was Swan. What's the album title?
The Swans. Oh, Seven Swans.
Seven Swans. Yeah. That was my introduction, and that it was the same thing. I listened to it, and I was like, I don't know if I like this. And then, but then I just couldn't stop thinking about it, so I came back to yeah. it like a few days later, and I was like, oh, I love this.
Yeah. Sometimes I still feel that way about yeah. some yeah, Sufjan songs.
And
I
then agree. I've just like yeah. followed. I've kind of like half followed. Like I've just kind of half followed the career yeah. of Sufjan. Like. Yeah. When he releases an album, I always listen to it, but I'm not like following like yeah. rumors or speculation yeah. about
him. I feel
him.
That way for sure. Like yeah. I was listening to surprise John Mayer today, which he's not even like, I don't really actively seek him out anymore, but I feel like I put them in like the same category, not necessarily like
oh, yeah.
type of music, but like how my relationship with them.
Oh,
like,
I see what you mean.
Like
I
they were right, both yeah. introduced right. to me from probably like my older sister. Or yeah. older brother or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of too young to care at the time. Yeah. And then when I got into indie music in college, I was like, oh, and drawn to him because obviously classic indie.
Indie
oh,
god. Yeah. He's probably reached indie god status.
Oh,
by
he's
now, right?
Def a god. And, if not anything, a god emperor.
I had like literally, I would say like the first, I mean, I'm still kind of weaving in and out of it, but majority yeah. of my 20s has been indie. And
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so this album or this song comes from his newest album from 2020, The Ascension.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that happens. You know, that's unavoidable.
That was a
Jesus.
A very audible
you made
head
me,
bump.
You made me nod so hard in agreement that I hit my microphone.
Boom.
Yeah. But The Ascension, I listened to it in passing. Uh-huh. I haven't really spent much time with it because, again,
It's a like there's big record.
Just yeah. more exciting stuff that I've been listening to. I mean, it was good. It was different.
No, I'm with you. No, and actually that was I flat out didn't like it the first time. But with certain artists that I've kind of come to appreciate for unique reasons.
Yeah.
I've learned to kind of give it a second chance, you mm-hmm. know, when I feel up for a big listen again. So that one, I repped that album, I think, two or three times just yeah. going on walks around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And well, but, you know, and I'm kind of a believer that most music is like kind of almost like an acquired taste. I mean, yeah, there's music I click with right away, but
yeah.
some music is different and I got to decode it
that's
a little
the thing,
bit.
That's the yeah. insane thing about
I get
like,
that for sure.
Like music reviews is like, it's this thing where you have to have the review done right when the album drops.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And
yeah.
but that's not how you appreciate music. Appreciating an album requires multiple listens. You can't just
you're developing a relationship
to it.
With
oh, you yeah. can't just put it on like 1.5x speed and close your eyes. And then write a whole review about it. You have to listen to it a few times.
Hell yeah. It's like Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah.
Probably the best
totally.
Example for
like,
me.
Just totally.
Yeah.
Well, just like the spending time with it, it allows you to develop those associations
yeah.
and like
because oftentimes
real life
you'll
connections.
Be surprised.
Yeah. I listen yeah. to this song when cooking in the kitchen. So I picture myself in the kitchen when I listen to
oh,
this album.
Oh yeah. That yeah. yeah. I've got, what was it? Kendrick's last album, Damn, I listened to it while I was traveling
dude.
In California.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So every time I'm like, I'm yeah. in the airport again. Yeah, it's so
I was going to
so
say,
strange.
I have fond memories of Damn because I made kimchi
oh.
while listening to it.
Yeah.
So now I think of kimchi
yeah.
when I'm
that's a,
listening
that's a
to
great
Damn.
Connection.
Yeah, and they're both great. I love them both,
yeah, I've
kimchi
got like
and
the,
Damn.
Yeah, that's
so,
awesome.
This is the last song on the album, and it happens to be 12 and a half minutes. In our intense, listening yeah. experience, I feel like we were very, like, focused and quiet for the first half. But for the second half, we kind of got, like, social.
Yeah.
But...
Well, and it makes sense. The lyrics had ended, and it was
yeah.
kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, he tacks on really big soundscape pieces.
I feel,
pieces
I feel like it's the end
songs.
Credits.
Kind of.
Like, it's the music that
yeah.
goes while you're exiting the theater. So it's well, okay to talk a bit about.
You know, it. And that's actually something that I think... if there was ever like active listening music, I feel like The Ascension makes that list because
yeah.
Yeah, maybe you could be right. It could just be falling action to kind of try to think about what
you
just listened
to. Have you ever watched a music video
to
this?
There's a music video.
Is there?
Is there? Oh
no, because that's what I'm saying. So.
Like that'd be dope.
Well, I was gonna say, are there any like videos of him performing this live? But I don't know if
I don't
does
know
Sufjan
if there is...
perform live very much.
I probably not. I don't know. Probably don't not during COVID. He does go on limited tours, but he plays like like event center shows and
big places.
Exactly, big places.
Yeah. He's a big name. What was your first encounter with this song?
I got Sufjan's on my watch list. I love Carrie and Lowell. Also loved Age of Odds. And so I was waiting to see what he was going to come out with. It had been a long time since Carrie and Lowell. So when the single dropped, I listened to it right away. And, you know, actually, it's funny. This song, which is probably like the most sprawling on the album, I really appreciated right away at first.
Yeah.
It was the rest of the album that kind of took me a while to acquire. It's very dense. I feel like if you're going to listen to it in the car or something, it just doesn't work.
It's very dense.
You have to practice active listening.
Lyrically and, I mean, just yeah.
That's probably why it was so, like, it was kind of over my head while I was cooking because I was like, what? And that's probably why I had that initial like reaction. But
it's interesting.
I remember this song. I remember looking at the title and being like, oh, what is this song? I want to revisit it again.
That melody is just so hooky and catchy.
But also, this album came out in 2020 where America was literally a dumpster fire.
You know, it's funny. He wrote it. He wrote it, I think, like right around the time of Carrie and Lowell, he said.
Oh.
Really?
But he thought it sounded petulant. He didn't want to use it.
Hmm.
He didn't think
and
it was worth it.
And then 2020 hit and he was like, this is all fucking perfect.
That's probably it. I remember this one review I read that I appreciated about the album was said it wasn't the album we could have expected, but probably the one we deserve, something along those lines.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of hostile.
I like
that's
that.
A really good point.
I like that a lot. Yeah, because it's kind of like positively hostile. Like,
we don't deserve this.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, okay. Is there anything else you want to add about? I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
It's cool. There's
about
a lot
your
of...
first encounter.
Oh, about the first encounter? No, I mean, I don't think so. I could tell you what I like about him. Like, you know, I love the way he thinks about like writing his music. At least, you know, what I've been able to glean in interviews and stuff like that. It's hard to for Carrie and Lowell, he said that it wasn't an art project. It was just his life. Because usually he tries to like write about his stories, but he like wraps it up with mythology or state history.
Right. Yeah.
Like really big. I mean, I guess you'd call it high concept.
Right.
Artsy.
Yeah. And I got really into that because I just spent a lot of time listening to music. So it was cool to have somebody I could dive into, you know, past just a first listen, you know, thinking about it.
He's good. He's a great artist to dissect because there's so many different interesting layers.
If you're into that kind of thing, which I am.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I can definitely see that artistry in his lyrics, not only like with the context, but the structure. I want to call it a pre-chorus where he says, don't do to me what you did to America.
Oh, yeah. Let's do these lyrics.
Yeah. Mm,
these are pretty crazy.
Oh, I love these lyrics.
So I'm just so excited. I can't hold it back anymore. So, like, right off the bat, he kind of jumps right fucking into it. This song is so impactful.
Heavy.
So he repeats those lines, don't do to me what you did to America, at the end of pretty much every stanza.
Yeah, you're right.
And then he takes not that same sentiment, but he takes that structure and creates different lines, like the dove flew to me like a vision of paranoia.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, the syllables and the structure of both of those lines sync up so beautifully that you could probably sing those lines like simultaneously.
Yeah,
and it would sound pretty cohesive.
And you guys know, like the sign of the cross. You guys know what the sign of the cross is?
Well, hang on, don't get ahead of me.
Oh, sorry.
He does that with the dove that flew like a vision of paranoia.
That's
don't
one
look
of my
at
favorites.
Me like
yeah.
I'm acting hysterical.
Yeah.
Like when you read those lines, they don't line up, but the way he delivers them and the syllable and the and he uses the structure of the word, it sounds like you're experiencing the same line, even though the words and context is different. That was like my favorite thing that happened in this song.
He's definitely very experimental. Yeah, and kind of how
it's like mathematical.
Yeah, almost. It totally is. And that, you know, reminds me, you know, Illinois. I listened to that episode you guys did on Chicago, and you were talking about how, and it's very mathematical.
Yeah.
It's almost like a, I don't know if it's a classical approach, but it reminds me of like the way classical music's put together.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like there are acts and moments and intermissions, and
it just shows swelling and so much like
swells.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah.
Coming from like a music educated perspective, like it shows so much like skill and artistry and like,
And instincts too. It's weird because it sounds almost like a lot of his bigger music almost sounds like clumsily put together or something, or like kind of lopsided.
But it's like incredibly intellectual.
Yeah, super super deep. Well, you know, if we want to actually look at some of the lyrics,
let's jump into that.
I love the way he repeats those. Like you pointed out, he repeats that refrain, I guess, or pre-chorus as you called it. Don't do to me what you did to America. Don't look at me like I'm acting hysterical. I mean, that's actually my favorite line in the song right there. And I think it's because it's almost like a validating song, you know? I mean, you know, someone could listen to this song and say, oh, snowflake, or, you know, something along those lines. There's a lot to be cosmically kind of worried about lately. It kind of feels validating.
I was telling Michael as he walked in the door, I was like, I just got off of a phone call, you know, where we talked about a lot of these like horrible systemic, I talked about these like systemic, horrible, rough issues with my dad and like conservative family. And, but yeah, like, the snowflake aspect. Like,
well, I mean, not to drop like a hot word into here and make it super political, but
hashtag snowflake.
The whole idea that certain elements of society are overreacting to things. You know, I mean, I really like this song because it sounds like what that must feel like.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
This song invokes
emotionally
the idea of like the American dream is dead. Like
totally,
it's like American frustration.
Totally. It's the frustration with having these promises that if you work hard and you are passionate about something, you can make a living off of it and you can support yourself, and that's just no longer true.
Oh man, you know, one of my favorite songs on the record as a whole is called "I Want to Die Happy," and it's just that lyric repeated over and over, and it makes me think of like, that's not an option for so many people today, proportionally.
Like, I was having that conversation, like a lot of folks who are homeless and on the street or who are like on welfare or whatever, they're on it because they can't afford a life on minimum wage.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like it's like that's why we have like welfare generations and such, and that's not acceptable. It's not an acceptable way for a human to live. But before we get too deep into like American
the political
issues,
cesspool which, of America,
which I'm sure we're, you know, I can't overlook. There's also a huge theme of Christianity in the song.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I think I'd call him a Christian songwriter.
He's definitely. Yeah. He takes a lot of inspiration from Christian symbology.
He went to
ideas,
Christian school as a kid. Yeah.
Well, and he's I think he's still a self-professed Christian.
Yeah.
He definitely was for the past few albums. Yeah, when he talks about it.
But this song is almost like, it resonates really deep with me because, I mean, from my perspective, because I was from a very like educated Christian background and know a lot about religion and Christianity, but then this is kind of like a whatever you call it, a coming to light, coming to Jesus of like, I'm ashamed to admit I no longer believe, like I have grieved you, I'm done with Christianity.
And I almost hear that or interpret it almost as like a lament, like he's not asking for forgiveness for that, he's just saying like I think he's really disillusioned.
Well,
with kind of what he thought God was,
I also
what America
think,
was.
Yeah, I also think that he's comparing American, the American dream as like a deity. He's comparing it to Christianity. Yeah, he's saying, I no longer believe in the idea of I can work hard and support my family doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so he's comparing it to Christianity because that's something that he knows and he sees. And so it's like him losing his faith in this idea that is so prevalent, especially really to immigrant families. Like, I think he...
I would agree with that. Yeah. I didn't want to interrupt Emma.
Sorry, Emma.
I was just going to say, like, in the song, he says, don't do to me what you is God. And so, in my perspective, I mean, while you're not wrong, I think he's saying, like, obviously, like, the American dream is over because he says, like, floods and disasters and all of these things, but...
Apocalyptic.
Yeah, so he's saying he doesn't want to end. He's basically saying, I don't want to end. Don't take joys of life away like you did to this country.
I think so. Well, and I think there is that kind of fear in America and, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of free market countries of being lost through the cracks, you know, of being and I mean, if that's happened to America, you know, what happens to Americans, I think is definitely a question he's asking.
Yeah.
I like the idea of, just disillusionment, right? Just like this isn't what we were told was going to happen. And it's just how awful that feels, I guess. I mean, what's your support system if your country's failing?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? It's rough. This is a pretty heavy one, huh?
What's your support system if your country's failing? Seriously.
I love heavy.
It's good.
Well, that's really the goal of this podcast is like creating a space to talk about real life shit that becomes apparent in music
and is relatable through music.
So,
I'm sure that you relate to the song because you relate to that message. Am I correct?
I think the same way. Yeah. I think everyone does at some level. I think that's why there's so much craziness happening right now is everyone kind of feels driven to extremes, I suppose.
It's kind of like feeling robbed. That's really what I feel like the song is, like feeling robbed. Like,
well, ultimately,
a let down.
Yeah, yes. Ultimately, it's who they blame. The difference is they're all being downtrodden, but some blame immigrants and government overreach, and others blame the free market and capitalism and things of that nature. So that's really what differentiates us. But if we're all aware that we're all being downtrodden, then hopefully you can kind of like rise up and get some kind of new right. That's like not even happening. Like the $15 minimum wage is just it's weird.
It's weird. There's so much resistance to it.
Yeah,
odd. There was an interview I watched. I think there's only one interview I've watched about this album particularly, or this song. But he said he hoped there could be a revolution or something. I'm talking about Sufjan, of course.
Yeah.
I wish there could be a revolution, but man, what are the chances of it happening? We're all kind of super distracted. I'm very much paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why I like this song. You know, he released it as a single and kind of let everyone know, hey, this is what I've been writing about. And then he releases the album and you get to listen to that song again as a closure. So you kind of approach it with a lot of new context. Because, I mean, the album talks about, consumerism materialism a lot. I mean, and it almost sounds like it too. It's the first completely digital record completely digital main record he's put out.
Right.
Maybe I should be fact checked on that.
Well, Emma, go ahead.
I don't know. But usually, you know, he's a guy that likes to use his instruments. Even Age of Odds, he had trombones, brass and woodwinds. Mm-hmm. This one was completely digital and it almost sounds as fake as like a lot of American culture has kind of become, I suppose.
Interesting. I didn't think about that. That's interesting.
Well, there's definitely a lot of
but it's still beautiful.
Different instrumental
still very
vibes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so many different phases. So I think like even though the song has this big, like glorious ending.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like a superficial kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
But at the beginning
feels
of the
super
song,
super heavy-handed at least.
Yeah. I feel like at the beginning of the song, it's a little bit more approachable and a little bit more like I'm relating, I'm here, yeah. But then, like, yeah. as time goes in the song, it kind of becomes a little bit more like kind of how you were describing, like,
yeah, it's just very synthetic sounding,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah, yeah, what, yeah. Is what it is. You, and it kind of I'm loses sorry. My attention.
You just so, said yas, Michael is just like, yas,
man. I was probably so, thinking, well, yeah,
yas, so, something I was yas thinking about with the. Because we're talking about the instrumentals of the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. The first half, after the lyrics, you know, the first half down. Has the lyrics and the second half is all instrumental. And going into the yeah. instrumental, it was kind of like when a song ends and you're like, do I clap? Like, yeah. And so I was like, oh, like, beautiful instrumental. Like, okay, maybe this is a time for me to, like, practice mindfulness and, like, ponder and think about the message of the song.
Yeah.
And then we easily got distracted and started talking about other stuff.
It's true. Yeah.
During
it's
the
true.
Ending of a song. But, like, that's but, not.
Like I said, it's like the end credits.
Yeah,
like,
end
it's
credits.
The
yeah.
song
yeah.
that people get up
exactly.
and they clap.
And they start talking about
and
the
they
movie.
Get up and they start exiting the movie, but they're talking about it. Like, what was your favorite scene?
Oh, yeah,
what
was exactly. your favorite?
He just knew there was going to be one podcast episode about it.
Yeah,
he had
exactly.
to give us that time to
He's like, this
to
one's
chat.
For that podcast started by two white people in Utah.
Yeah.
No, it is it's a really interesting instrumental approach. I totally agree with you, Emma. It's what is it? Theatrical almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what
feels
I definitely
like a,
get those credits.
A movie or a play or...
And that's actually I'm kind of like a sucker. I'm learning this about myself. I'm a sucker for like all like melodramatics, I guess.
Yeah,
like
it's fun.
Another artist I really love lately of Montreal. He's got a very melodramatic
yeah.
vibe, and I just it's like someone's like, you know, screaming as loud as everyone should be screaming right now, like, you know, with all the cosmic craziness in the air.
I listened to one of their albums and was like, no,
you couldn't do it.
There's
huh?
one good song on it, but I just could not get into them. But honestly, I need
strokes.
To go back.
Hey, different strokes.
Well, that's the thing, is I always try to, again, like we were talking about earlier, like we have to give it multiple tries. I gotta give Of Montreal another shot.
Yeah. And you know, when I say that, and I sound really high-minded or whatever, but there's so many albums I haven't given a second chance.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I should practice what I preach more for sure.
But there's so much music out there.
Yeah, there's so much content.
It's overwhelming, but... Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I put off listening to this record,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was just...
It's kind
I
of
heard
hard
how long
as a consumer.
It's, yeah, it's super
oversaturated.
Heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting, even like reading the track names kind of put me off of it. They're all like, they're all super cliche sounding, like... I think one of them's called Make Me an Offer I Cannot Refuse.
Let
like
me
it's
see.
Like American pop culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one song where the refrain is always give me some sugar.
Mm.
You know, and it just sounds, but I mean it's I don't know, I feel like it kind of uses that as like a I don't know. Definitely a theme in the
yeah.
album.
Yeah,
trying to dive beneath like the facade.
Make Me an Offer I Cannot Refuse. Run Away With Me. Video Game. Lamentations.
Oh, it definitely sounds a little heavier.
Tell
huh?
Me You Love Me. Die Happy. Atavan. Ursa Major. Landslide. Gilgamesh.
Man,
Death
that's
Star.
A big record, isn't it?
Goodbye to All That. Sugar. The Ascension. America.
Yeah.
America.
America.
That's compared with
are you gonna look
Michigan
at...
where oh Detroit, lift up your weary head, rebuild.
Yeah.
Oh, it goes off the page and I can't expand the title.
Illinois is even worse.
They
isn't
also
it?
Mourn who do not wear black for the
for the dot 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 dot. He's never been yeah
so
he's never been afraid to do.
I want to get into
for
the
Yayan
next
Yayan Papau is my favorite.
I want to get into
that's a great song.
My favorite question.
Papau.
Papau.
Papau. Papaya. Sorry. Go ahead, Emma. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm a child.
Papaya papyrus.
Okay. How has the song influenced your creativity?
My creativity.
In any aspect of creativity.
Wow.
So
you know, it's funny. Everyone had to spend time at home, and I'm usually, you know, I've had some creative outlets, but I feel like my creativity's kind of been at a lull since the whole COVID thing started.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You're not alone.
You're not alone.
At all.
You are not
good.
Alone.
That's good. But, I mean, yeah, this song definitely has influenced me. More just, I mean, production-wise, it's kind of an out-there song, especially for, like, a single. I expected, you know, something hookier, something, like, poppier, I guess. And so
you're
it
like
was cool.
12 and a half minutes. Cool.
That's, yeah.
Thanks, Sufjan.
Cool.
Let me just, yeah, find a dark corner to stare into for for 12 minutes. But it was, I don't know. I always like where Sufjan goes with his production. It's always super complex, yeah. And his arrangements are always, especially like Age of Odds forwards. They just feel kind of skewed, don't they? Like kind of squampus. Is that a word?
Squampus. Yeah, squampus is a great word to describe it because they're not broken, but they're not
whole.
Or I guess they're not.
They're not pain-free.
Fully directional.
Squampus is not officially a word. However, it's in Urban Dictionary and it says not in alignment or traveling off course.
Squampus, well, traveling off course. There it is. Wow.
He's a Squampus producer.
We nailed it.
Come on, Webster. Add it to the dictionary. Yeah.
My dad has always used the word Squampus.
Yeah. I think I heard it from my dad as well.
Yeah.
That's a real word.
It's a little Squampus.
Yeah.
Yeah, if enough people say it, it's got to be, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but
like thingamajigger.
So yeah, I guess I get inspired by things that just sound different. America definitely sounded different to
me. It's always nice to be challenged in those ways. Like I really appreciate it when a song or an album hits me different and makes me kind of consider it.
Feel something new. Feel something you haven't felt in a long time.
And that's like one of the things is I've been getting more into. I've been getting more and more into kind of different genres of hip hop beyond like the kind of more underground old school stuff that I used to listen to.
So many
and
layers
it,
there.
And it literally feels like a whole new world and it just is so enlightening and it feels good to find all these great new artists that I just immediately fall in love with. And I don't even care about the artist, like the name of the artist.
You just gotta find something interesting. Yeah. That's my favorite thing about music is like, man, what can you show me that I haven't seen before? Kind of an idea.
Yeah, and I love that. Yeah. Like just discovering those whole new worlds. It's so inspiring.
I feel like old music is almost like a new thing for me because I never took the time to.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, I didn't do a really deep dive into the Beatles until I was like 23. I feel 24. So that's like musically for me a pretty new relationship.
Yeah.
That I just got into.
Yeah. That's cool.
Well, I mean,
I feel that way about some old bands, like Led Zeppelin for sure.
Oh yeah, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd.
Came around in my 20s.
The first Black Sabbath album, like one of my all time favorite albums of all time. Literally, I discovered like 5 years ago. Like
it's totally, yeah. The albums that you know you listen to, and it's like, oh, that's where this band came from. That's where this song came from. Yeah. Kind of an idea.
Yeah,
laying down like foundational groundwork, I guess.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to come across bands that do that.
Yeah, like, I agree. And I like finding, you know, it's funny. I mean, music, especially popular music, I feel is kind of getting more complex in response to like those foundational albums.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like you're hearing more jazz influences and more popular kind of
totally
straightforward mainstream music.
It's kind of weird how the 70s are coming back a lot of music. Like, that's too. Like Tame Impala's Currents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
right out of that era.
Sometimes you hear a Tame Impala song, you're like, is this a Beatles song I've never heard?
Yeah,
100%. Well, I mean, he always gets that apparently. He sounds a lot like John Lennon.
Yeah,
thanks.
He does. Thank you. Gotta go put the lugabouts in the lorry boot. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
And that's what's so fun about music, though, is just, I mean, you'll never reach the bottom of it. It's not like you're ever going to have, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, lack of content. And one of my favorite things is when you discover a band that you love that aren't super popular, because that means you can message them on Instagram and they'll actually read it and they'll probably reply and say, thank you so much. Wow. And they'll actually be like, wow, that guy liked our music. That
so
makes me want to continue.
So are you trying to say support local music?
Support local music. Support smaller bands.
We can say that one louder, I think. Support local music.
It's not even local, though. It's just support small bands. And the best way to find small bands is via supporting local music. So do that.
I agree.
But like,
I agree.
Matt, what's your... Do you want to ask your favorite question?
We drifted.
How do you like your eggs?
That's a good question. You know, it depends on the day. I'm a big fan of scrambled lately.
Or without hot sauce?
Hot sauce. The time. If not, you know, if I don't have hot sauce. I really like aardvark. Some people call it spicy ketchup, but aardvark.
I don't think I've had aardvark.
Okay, well. We're
a Valentina household.
Valentina is excellent.
Valentina is our favorite.
That's a go-to, for sure. Yeah. I've also been really liking... this Queen Majesty. I'm kind of a hot sauce head.
Oh, yeah.
Queen,
dude.
Have you heard of
that's
Queen Majesty?
That's Louisiana, right?
Ooh, I don't know, actually.
I think that's a Louisiana style
hot
sauce.
I know, they always got a tiger on the label, which I, you know,
maybe
I like
I'm
that.
Thinking of a different one then. Because I know of one that's like a something, some like Old Mary or Old whatever, and it's like a riverboat, and it's like a Louisiana style.
That one I don't know, but okay. I'm sure I'd like it. There's not many hot sauces I'm not a fan of.
I don't really like
hot
the
sauce
super,
on
super spicy ones. I just like the ones that just add a nice
you gotta have flavor.
Kick in the throat.
You know, yeah. I like a kick, but it's gotta be flavor. It's gotta be a flavor I enjoy.
So the other question that I usually like to ask is, what do you envision in your mind's eye when you listen to this song?
Oh, dang.
There's a lot of context for this question.
Yeah, well, I think both Emma and you, Matt, have said this, but the song's got like different acts or movements or phases or whatever we want to call it. So I kind of picture a lot of things. I definitely, so maybe Kanye West's music video for Church in the Wild.
Oh,
you know, right. with the mob rushing the guards and stuff. I mean, shoot, that's something I could definitely see.
All right.
Then Sufjan, always, his electric stuff always makes me think of crazy. I don't know, like geometrics, I guess. If I close my mind, it's kind of like Dr. Seuss took LSD or something.
Oh, okay. More LSD, you mean?
Yeah, more LSD.
Cool. That's a nice visual, actually.
Yeah.
I always just imagine like a really sad, rainy American city.
That's in there too for me.
It's just
for every
Sufjan
song.
Just this song. Like just a sad,
definitely
old,
like urban decay. I get that vibe for
like
sure.
Decayed, kind of like run down. The only people who live there are the old people, you know. And there's one cafe, and that cafe only has one beer.
And that's the thing with this song. I can't help but, you know, think of the things it's about, and I unfortunately there's a lot of negative things you see on the news lately, but sometimes I kind of go to like a newsreel thing in my head, like we got protests that are turning violent, we got shooters, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, it's not the happiest of songs, you know.
No,
at the end of the
not.
Day,
it's not.
But that's an important role that art can play, though. You know,
right? It just makes you think about important things.
For sure.
Have you ever seen Sufjan live?
No, I haven't. I've never yet really been close enough geographically for me to just like be ready to do it, and I haven't yet. But I want to, for sure. One of the things I'm really bummed about is I missed him touring Planetarium. I don't know if you guys listened to that, but the only thing you read in forums is that, man, it was so much cooler live. I really wish I could have gone and see that. Have we run out of things to talk about with Sufjan Stevens?
No.
Well, yes. But we haven't run out of things to talk about because we end our podcast with a really fun game.
Yes.
What is it?
Band names?
Band
okay.
Names. Do you keep a list of band names on your phone? That you, like when you think of a funny band name, you like write it down?
So they are, they're just scattered throughout my Google Keep. So it's hard to reference them.
Okay. Really? Because I was going to say, I don't have my phone on me.
I've got some that I remember.
What's one you remember?
One that apparently it has been taken by, I don't think they're making music any longer though.
Yeah.
The Red Scare.
The Red Scare? Oh, that's so good.
I love that name.
The Red Scare?
That's
the Red Scare.
They're like, I envision like an MF Doom-esque DJ duo that like performs, but they like sample like old political like speeches.
That's awesome.
I like McCarthyism stuff. Like they love that one black and white movie, Good Night and Good Luck.
Oh yeah.
And they like sample it all the
Pink
time.
Pink as the day is long.
Yeah.
Good night and good luck. Good night and good luck. Luck, 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 luck.
Yeah, and then he comes in, he's like, I'm American, bitches,
well, so
wow!
This is your next project then, right?
Hell yeah, dude. Do you want to collab,
help
my dude?
Any way I can. Let's collaborate on
Hell
that,
yeah,
man,
dude.
The Red Scare. I had another one kicking around. I don't think I have any others kicking around.
All right, so Red Scare, that's mine. Emma, what's yours? What do you think it is?
Am I clear on the rules of the game? We're just like making
okay,
a band
so,
name?
So it's you come up with one band name, and then we have to decide, the person who comes up with the band name, the other two have to decide what the genre they are.
Okay.
The name of their first album.
I mean, okay.
And the hit single off of that album.
Okay.
So our genre is, my genre is like a hip hop duo that sings about political things and McCarthyism.
Okay, that's dope.
I mean, I was a blank slate and then you started talking. And so then I started to like connect with what you were saying.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Beats me.
The singer in the duo wears a balaclava and a Russian hat.
Does
like one of those fuzzy ones with the red star on the forehead.
Does he perform with a Molotov cocktail in his hand?
No, he has an unlit one in his hand and he's got his microphone in the other.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'll give my picks?
Yeah, well, keep going, yeah.
For the Red Scare, like what kind of band they would
be? Yeah, what do you think?
I picture like a.
What did you imagine when you came up with the name? Like
it's
what
like
kind of
combined
band?
Like Bob Dylan's early like super folk stripped down stuff with like Tame Impala, like something like scary sounding, something a little frightening, aggressive. Electric spiked folk rock. That's what I'm talking about.
Cool.
That's what I picture.
I like that.
I don't know what they, you know, when they perform, man. I don't know. They're wrapped up in an American flag.
Oh my god!
And his guitar, he's just like slashing the strings of his guitar with a pick, but his guitar's ran through like 50 different effects, so it just sounds like.
He plays his pick is a razor blade.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So that's my Red Scare.
All right. Well, which one do you think, Emma? You're
what's
the tiebreaker.
What's that
here.
Russian hat called? The fur one?
Anushanka.
Anushanka?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty
okay,
sure.
So they all wear those.
I dig that.
They all have beards and long hair.
Well, they wear.
There's a banjo.
Oh,
and
dang.
They sing anti-communism songs.
Anti-communism
songs.
Or like pro-communism. Because
no,
my DJ duo is pro. They're communists.
They're anti.
I definitely thought of like the reaction of the Red Scare. So I was thinking like, yeah.
Isn't the Red Scare like...
Because it's ironic now.
It's
Yeah,
sure.
Oh yeah, knowing what we know now for sure.
Yeah.
It's different.
Like... Yeah.
I could come up with a different band name if we want.
No. I love the Red Scare. I just feel like we need to decide on whether or not it's a hip hop duo or a folk psychedelic band.
Psychedelic folk, yeah. Folk troubadour.
I don't care as long as they have those hats.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Ushankas can play with either one.
Okay,
really,
cool.
Really easily.
I mean, I can get behind the
hip-hop. What's their first album called, then? The Red Scare.
Ooh, first album.
I think...
We didn't start the fire.
Good
yes.
Morning and Bad Luck.
Good morning. Bad morning. Bad luck.
Yeah.
Bad morning and bad luck.
Good
yeah.
morning and good luck has probably got to be it, doesn't it? Or good evening and good luck.
Or sickle and the hammer.
I like good evening and good luck.
That's a pretty good one. Or we can like the Red Scare 1 and the Red Scare 2. You know.
What should their
self-titled volume?
Wait, what if their first single was Good Night and Good Luck?
What if their
it's pretty,
first
it's pretty
What
cool.
if their first? Oh yeah,
well,
their first
of
single.
They're
that's good.
They're
that's good. And
Cookie.
That's because that's what I literally just saying. I said good night and good luck. Luck.
Yes.
You get very big
single.
Very quickly. Their first album. Yeah, I don't know. It's got to be self-titled. It's got to be
self-titled.
I'm okay with that.
Self-titled volumed though.
Yeah,
so volumed. So it's
wait,
the Red
what?
Scare presents the Red Scare
volume
one.
Wait,
Red
wait,
Scare
why
presents...
couldn't they be the Red Scare and then the album could be Red Scares?
Oh. Or
the Red is Scarce.
Oh, red scarce. Scarce red.
Scarce red.
Red scarce. Honestly, I like red scarce. That's scary, like red. Almost red scarce volume one.
Scary sounds.
Of yeah. 12.
Yes. All right. I feel pretty good about that.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So what did we decide? Are they? I think they're the rap duo.
I think they're a rap duo. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to co-opt that, but I just the moment you said it, I'm like, oh.
They're a rap duo. As long as they play their guitar with razor blades, then I'm okay with that.
At one point, he pulls out a guitar and does that.
Yeah.
And a guy is just throwing him a new guitar every bar.
Yeah. Or he like slowly works through the strings. He like breaks the high E first, and then the B, yeah, and then the G. And so the song ends on him just being like,
it's beautiful.
On the low E string.
I love the idea we're putting out to the universe right now.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming to our show.
Whenever you want to start that band.
Today, right now.
Do you have a balaclava?
This podcast is our debut show.
Yeah, dude. I wrote the first, our first hook.
I love Emma's trying to wrap us up.
Yeah, I was like, so thanks for coming to our show.
You can't stop me, Emma.
I'm so sorry, Emma.
I'm so sorry. I'm just having such a good time with our guests.
For the record, you asked some really cool questions. I really enjoyed talking about it.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
Anything you want to promote, talk about?
Vote.
Even though it's an odd year, vote.
Yes. Okay.
No, just, enjoy yourselves, guys.
Yeah.
Don't live free. Don't work die hard.
Too hard.
Yeah. Or die trying.
Do you want to help us with a ending jingle?
Yeah, let's do it. How does that work?
I'm gonna do, hold on. We're gonna finish off this duo DJ. So I'm gonna go. Good night and good luck. Good night and good luck. Good night and good luck. Luck, 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 luck. All right, I'm pushing the space bar now. Thanks as always to Cole and BB for the music at the top and bottom of each episode. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Mixtape Remedies, and check out mixtaperemedies.com.